Live and local, here for you, Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. Three state basketball champions will be crowned tonight as all three tournaments are in their final day. The Class B girls here in Huron at the arena will have Wall and Viberg Hurley play for the championship. Wall, the number five seed in the tournament, plucked off their second higher seed last night as top-seeded Woolsey Wessington fell 76-72, high-scoring game. Wall had the lead just about the entire game. Every time Woolsey Wessington made a run, Wall seemed to come up with an answer as they go on to the victory. Woolsey Wessington had 21 points from Maya Boomsma, 20 points, 15 rebounds from Mallory Miller, and Leah Williams with 20 points. In the second semifinal, it was pretty much Viberg Hurley with the lead. Ethan made a run. In fact, Ethan was within two early in the fourth quarter before Viberg Hurley went on a 15-0 run to put the game away. Viberg Hurley wins it 52-34. Consolation games yesterday afternoon. Jones County defeated Sully Buttes 47-38. Castlewood edged Howard 51-47. Class A girls at the Watertown Arena saw Hamlin and Wagner win their semifinal games handily, the top two seeds, to play for the championship tonight. Hamlin took care of Red Cloud 57-35. Wagner defeated Sisseton 63-45. In the consolation round, Flandreau 55, Lakota Tech 41. Sioux Falls Christian defeated Rapid City Christian 52-42. Double A girls, it'll be Washington and Pierre, the top two seeds, playing for the championship tonight. In the first semifinal, tight game all the way through, with Washington outlasting Sioux Falls Jefferson 46-43. Then Pierre got off to a 14-2 lead to start the second semifinal. Never looked back. The Governor's Cruise passed Harrisburg 51-37. Consolation games in Double A. Mitchell defeated Watertown 48-37, and O'Gorman defeated Stevens 56-48. So here's the final day pairings at all three tournaments. Class B here in Huron, 7th place at 12 noon. Sully Buttes plays Howard. They'll be followed by the Consolation Championship, Jones County and Castlewood. Third place game at 6 o'clock tonight, Woolsey Wessington and Ethan, the top two seeds. And then the championship has Wall and Viberg Hurley. We'll have the third place and championship games on the air tonight here on KOKK. The Class A final day, 7th place, 12 noon today, Lakota Tech playing Rapid City Christian. Then the consolation championship, Flandreau and Sioux Falls Christian. Third place, 6 o'clock tonight, Red Cloud and Sisseton, and the championship has Hamlin matched up with Wagner. Double A at the Pentagon, 12 noon. It's Watertown and Rapid City Stevens for 7th place, followed by Mitchell and O'Gorman in the consolation championship. Third place, Sioux Falls Jefferson to play Harrisburg, and the championship, Sioux Falls Washington and Pierre. That will wrap up the girls' basketball season in South Dakota today. State varsity boys hockey got underway yesterday in Brookings. First round results, Pierre defeated Sioux Falls number 2, 4-3. Brookings defeated Aberdeen 5-2. Rushmore shut out Mitchell 4-0. Top-seeded Sioux Falls 1 defeated Watertown 7-0. Semifinals today in Brookings. Brookings will play Pierre and Rushmore will play Sioux Falls. College basketball continues. The Division II regions are underway for women's basketball. A pair of South Dakota teams in play yesterday. Central region up in Duluth, Missouri Southern State edged Augustana 75-74. Longtime coach of Augustana, Dave Krauth, coached his last game for the Vikings. The South Central region down in Texas, Black Hill State upended Regis, Colorado, 61-57. The men's region games will start today. Quick reminder, there'll be a District 5 umpire clinic tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Fine Arts Building on the Huron Community Campus is open for anyone interested in umpiring high school baseball this spring, teener or Legion baseball this summer. If you have any questions, contact Mike Sarda, 350-0888. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, a full show. We talked with both coaches from the first semifinal game in the Class B tournament last night, John Hess of Wall and also Josh McGilvery from Wolsey-Wessington. We'll review the C and JV seasons for Huron Tiger girls basketball with their coaches, Jeremy Noyes and Skylar Holtrop. We'll talk a little sportsmanship, too, heading into this championship day for girls basketball. As I said, a very full Dakota Sports Saturday show coming your way this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We are back here on Dakota Sports Saturday talking to Josh McGilvery, head coach, Wolsey-Wessington Warbird girls. They fall in the semifinals last night. High scoring game to Wall, 76-72. And coach, first things first, give credit to Wall. They made plays when they needed to. They made shots when they needed to. You might have felt like you had momentum, but they always did something to stop it.
Absolutely. Wall put together one heck of a game. You know, I think they put up 76 points. That's a lot of points for girls basketball. They were hitting shots at all different angles, and they came out ready to play.
You know, and, you know, the little dinger girl, I think just the Exhibit A, I mean, she was taking threes where, for the most part, you're going to let a girl shoot it from way out there, but the problem is she was knocking them down.
She was, you know, we try to, and then you get out there and put some pressure on her, and she take it right to the rim. I mean, she's quick, she can shoot, you know. Before the game, you know, we were talking, she is 5'4", but she plays like she's 6'2", you know. She goes all out there, and she played one heck of a ball game. That's one good ball player right there.
You know, and to give your girls credit, they kept themselves in and they kept fighting. It just seemed like you're in catch-up mode just about the entire game, but you had a couple of leads, and, you know, the girls you expected to lead you in scoring did. You had other contributions as well, and you can't fault the girls. The effort was there. The competitiveness was there.
Absolutely. You know, that's part of the state tournament. These are the top 8 teams in the state. We switched to that SODAC 16. It's not like anyone really sneaks in anymore. I do think that this is a very competitive tournament. I do really believe that we played as hard as we could. There's obviously things you look back on and might want to try a little bit differently, do this a little bit different, get some different looks here or there. But at the end of the day, you know, it is a state tournament, and as long as you played as hard as you could, you know, we're happy with where we're at.
I know it was a hurting locker room after the game. Bottom line is, now here this morning, I did check. The sun came up. It's a new day. Girls just got to realize that. Go out, and you get to play together one last time.
Absolutely. You know, all season long, our senior group is just led by example. And they did that last night after the loss there. We all went out to McDonald's as a team, had one heck of a time. And, you know, this is it. You know, some of these girls don't do track. You know, this is going to be their last high school activity that they participate in and can contribute to. And, you know, we want to just go out there and want to have a lot of fun, but we also want to, you know, finish the job.
You know, and it's Ethan, and I don't know how much you know or talk about them. I don't know. How much do you scout a game like this? And even for Coach Young as well, you know, really at the end of the day, obviously you want to win, but it's also a game for fun and a game for the seniors.
It is. You know, it's a little bit of both there. You know, guy that Todd Young, he does one heck of a job. You know, he you look at him before a game, and he's just so relaxed, and he does a really good job. Got a lot of respect for him. You know, Ethan, yeah, we got quite a bit of film on them. We've been watching them throughout the season. They're a really good ball club. They shoot the three ball very well. They play a really hard 2-3 defense. And that's something that we're prepared for, and we're looking forward to having a lot of fun competing to get that W.
You know, and one last thing here, too, and I was kind of thinking about this when I was looking at the possible matchups here before the semifinals. You know, for in today's age, Woolsey and Ethan are not that far apart, but yet you guys really don't cross paths much, do you?
We really don't. This is the first time that I can recall, you know, Woolsey-Wessington ever playing Ethan, so it's a little uncharted territory, but I guess that's part of the state tournament as well, so we're definitely looking forward to playing a new team and seeing what happens.
Josh McGilvery, head coach, Woolsey-Wessington Warbirds. Warbirds fall last night 76-72 in the B semifinals. They'll play for third place today at 6 o'clock against Ethan. We'll have that game and also the state championship game on the air here on KOKK starting about 5:45 with the pregame. Still to come, we will talk with John Hess, head coach of the Wall Eagles, who defeated Woolsey-Wessington last night, have a chance for their first ever Class B girls basketball title. That's next on Dakota Sports KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Don't Spill the Beans now has three convenient locations in Huron. In the Fair City Foods parking lot, at their downtown Center Plaza location, and the new one in Coburn's parking lot. Don't Spill the Beans offers specialty coffee and food at all locations and gifts and decor at their downtown location. Don't Spill the Beans is a proud sponsor of the Huron Tigers and the Tiger pregame report. Don't Spill the Beans, three locations in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday talking with Wall Eagle head coach John Hess. Wall gets into the state finals with a thrilling win over Woolsey-Wessington 76-72. And coach, first off, boy, it just seemed like every time Woolsey-Wessington made a run at you, your girls came up with an answer.
We did. We responded very well to their runs. And, you know, we talked about before the game about this is going to be a game of runs. And I said, you know, if they make a little run on us, we've got to respond to that run. And we sure did.
You know, and you had, you know, what, three girls in double figures, almost four, if I remember right. Is that kind of way the season has went for your kids?
It has. You know, I think Ray is averaging about 10 points a game, and Alexis, you know, she can heat it up from that 3-point line. Paige is always our go-to. She kind of struggled a little bit, but when you got a 6'4 girl in the paint, you know, that's understandable. But I can't say enough for what Rhea did for us with the points and the rebounds. And Nora, with as many possessions as she has the ball in her hands, she just, like she did last night, she controlled the floor for us. She controlled our offense. She didn't have very many turnovers, and hit the ball lights out, man. She hit those threes, and that was huge.
You know, and the one thing that caught me, you mentioned 6'4", Mallory Miller, and boy, your girl, it almost looked like they had practiced. Here's how you get a shot off underneath the basket against 6'4". Was that something you planned on, or just the girls just kind of came up with the plan themselves?
Girls, it just kind of happened. You know, we talked about you're gonna get your shots blocked, and I said how you respond is either you keep attacking or you're afraid. And I thought we did a heck of a job just attacking that, but no, we didn't really plan on getting in, you know, little jumpers or anything. So we did an outstanding job.
If I remember correctly, last year, eighth place at the B tournament, did that help build for this year?
Even having that last year experience has really helped us, because all these girls, except for two, are seniors. They were all sophomores last year. You know, and that state tournament last year was huge. Just, oh my gosh, you know, kind of a deal. And I think having that experience has helped us a lot right now.
Now, Viberg Early, defending champions, so they've been here, done that.
Yep. you know, and we played them early in the season, and we just went in that game with deer in the headlights and were scared, and they beat us pretty handedly. You know, the Mason girl, the Mott girl, I mean, they're all state caliber ball players, and then they've got some nice key pieces around them. And, you know, like you said too, they've been here. They were here last year, won it. So they have way more experience than we do right now. So,
and I'll wrap it up with this. I always think the semifinals are much harder to play in the championship. Pressure's off. Girls know this is the end of the season, win or lose. Obviously, you want to win, but the bottom line is you can go out and play.
Yep. And we'll talk about that again, too, you know, about we've got nothing to lose. You know, we're the 5 seed. And I know that doesn't matter a lot at the state tournaments because everybody's so well, you know, everybody's pretty much equal. But I hope we come in loose and just play our style of basketball.
John Hess, head coach of the Wall Eagles, a Wall against Viberg Hurley for the Class B championship tonight. We'll be back with more here, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Don't Spill the Beans now has 3 convenient locations in Huron. In the Fair City Foods parking lot, at their downtown Center Plaza location, and the new one in Colburn's parking lot. Don't Spill the Beans offers specialty coffee and food at all locations and gifts and decor at their downtown location. Don't Spill the Beans is a proud sponsor of the Huron Tigers and the Tiger Pregame Report. Don't Spill the Beans, 3 locations in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
First up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we review here on Tiger girls basketball with the lower levels. Jeremy Noyes, the C-team coach this year, and just got 13 games in. I believe you said 8-5 was the record, and C-team was a combination of 3 grades. We'll get to that coming up here. First off, Jeremy, it's kind of interesting, your story. You're a native of Huron, but yet you're new to Huron, coming back after being out in the Rapid City area a long time.
Yeah, I was 19 years out in the hills, but grew up in Huron. I went to Huron through 6th grade and 3 years of high school at James Valley Christian, so always loved the community, and it's great to be back.
Well, when you did come back now, I imagine that was a big decision because your daughters, one's a junior this year, one's in 8th grade this year, and you know it was probably a big family decision.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a family decision. It was pretty much my decision, but Jaylee it really has enjoyed Huron, and she was excited to get here from the get-go. Jesslyn took a little bit longer time coming around. I think she finally started unpacking her room towards the end of November. She realized that we weren't going back, and it took her a little bit more time, but once she came around, I think she's really starting to enjoy the community as well.
And what is your teaching position?
I'm teaching kindergarten and first grade PE at Buchanan.
Okay, so I knew you were at Buchanan, but I wasn't sure what the teaching assignment was. So let's talk basketball, and obviously you've been basically in coaching girls pretty much your whole career, haven't you?
Pretty much. I was the head boys coach in Trip Delmont in 2004, 2003, 2004 senior. That class at Trip was the one class I had, and then when I went out to Rapid City, my first coaching job there was freshman boys at Central, but I only had that for 1 year. So I've been coaching since 2000, and only two of those years have been with boys, so mainly with the girls' side.
Well, let's run down your C team roster again. 8-5, so you didn't get to get all the games in, that, and that's reflective simply of the numbers we have in your C team. Kind of interesting that you had three classes here, and I guess the first thing was the mesh, because while the girls from the same grade have played with each other before, other than that, there probably wasn't, you know, probably like a couple of the juniors that played, they probably hadn't played with the freshmen before.
Yeah, we definitely had to do introductions a few times, but about partway through the first week of practice, we realized that Chloe Carr was going to be out for a little while. We didn't realize it was going to be the whole season, but at that point we realized that we were down to about five or six healthy bodies if we didn't play a couple juniors there. So realized that we were going to need a couple juniors to fill in for part of the season, and it turned out being the whole season. We had anticipated getting Chloe back after Christmas, and we had hoped Jensie Gergen would be back from her ACL surgery, and that just didn't happen either. And then we threw a couple more injuries on top of that, and when you said three classes, it actually was four a few times. We had the eighth graders suit up three games, I believe. One of the games at Jefferson, I pulled my eighth grade daughter out of the stands after Allison tore ACL, so she ended up playing four games, but as a group, the five eighth graders were able to suit and play three games. So we had a mix.
Running down the roster.
Yep, the two juniors we had playing for us were Tatum Peterson and Jaylee Noyes, and they both did a very good job. Tatum scored in double figures three times. Her best game was a 19-point. game in our double overtime winning game against Pierre, but she did a lot of things for us. She defended well, plays hard, handles the basketball if you need her to. Jaylee, she had four games in double figures. Her best game was a 16-point performance against Brookings. She shot the ball pretty well. You know, when she was playing JV, she had two girls who were bigger than her who were able to handle most of the inside duty. But she had to do some of that for the C team. She was really our only player who played primarily as a post. So those were the two juniors we had. We also had two sophomores, Allison Janes and Maddie Jurgens. Allison got hurt in the Sioux Falls Jefferson game, and at that point, I believe we were 6-1 actually before that game. She got hurt in the last minute of the JV game, so she did not play in the Jefferson games. She got seven games in. She scored in double figures three times. She had a 16-point game the first time we played Brookings, and she just does so many things. She handles the ball. She's not afraid to guard anybody, 1 through 5 on the floor, and you always know what she's going to get. You're going to get with her. She's going to give you everything she's got. Maddie Jurgens, she's not really a scorer. She handles the ball. She works her butt off. She's always cutting to the basket, always sticking her nose in. She had two games where she scored in double figures this year. Her best game of the season was also that same peer game I talked about with Tatum, but Maddie did a phenomenal job handling the ball that game, and she also had 22 points that game. And like I said, she does the little things. She works hard. She's always on the floor going after the ball, and she's getting better with handling the ball all the time. The freshman we had, Allie Davis, was probably our best overall player on the C team this year. She scored in double figures seven times. She had 19 twice. She had 19 against Harrisburg, 19 against Roosevelt, and a lot of the things we tried to do offensively ran through her. When I talked about Maddie having that good game against Pierre, that was one game that Allie was in foul trouble that whole game. Probably only played about 5 minutes, so it was good to have somebody else step up that game. But most of the time for us, it was Allie Davis. She went to the basket extremely hard. She shoots the ball fairly well. And again, kind of like I talked about with Allison and Tatum, they can handle the ball. They can guard anybody, and are willing to do what it takes for the team. Another freshman we had was Haley Rogers. Haley shot the ball pretty well for us this season. She had one game she shot it really well early in the year, second game of the year against Mitchell, she had a 20-point game. I believe she had either five or six threes in that game. But she's a good shooter. Getting her to believe that all the time is a chore sometimes. But she's a very capable shooter, and as she continues to put more time in and get consistent, I think that'll be the biggest asset of her game. She also works hard, isn't afraid to mix it up and play physically. And she's one of those who, with some time in the gym, she'll see a ton of minutes for the JV team next year. Other freshmen we had this year playing were Kyla Pesky and Libby Heyer, and both those two girls work hard all the time. You always know that they're going to come in and defend well and get after the rebounds, and they both improved a lot this year. Hopefully they're both able to spend quite a bit of time in the gym in the off season and are able to get some more JV minutes next year. But they did a good job of defending. They were able to score baskets when we needed them to, and very, very great teammates, good to the younger girls we pulled up, and always had good attitudes throughout. We also had five eighth graders who suited up one time or another. I think the most any of them got was, like I said, Jesslyn had four games she suited. She got pulled out of the stands at Jefferson when we were out of bodies. But we had Jesslyn Noyes, Abby Harrington, Izzy Kramer, Camden Fuchs, and Natalie Kinsley all suited up for us and were able to get some minutes at that level as well.
And talking with Jeremy Noyes, C-team coach for the Huron Tiger girls basketball team, went 8-5 this season. And one thing I always say, you know, you're basically the freshman coach, but, you know, there's more grades than that. But I always say this every year with the freshmen, you know, it's a new world for them. You have to deal with them a little bit. They're practicing on Wednesdays for the first time. They're going everywhere the varsity goes. I remember when my son was that age, had a coach, the late Mr. Baszler, said, make sure you take care of your homework. You know, there's just different things when you make the move from eighth to ninth grade.
Yeah, it's a big step up. You know, this year they were practicing with our varsity girls, you know, obviously on the same bus with them, eating meals with them. And it's a real tight group. You see all the way down seniors with the eighth graders we pulled up. They all intermix well together. They take good care of each other. I know the game I pulled Jesslyn out of the stand, she had never practiced with us, probably didn't know the girls' names, and I remember talking to a few of the girls after the game and thanking them for how good they were to her. I saw several times where we were in a zone, and obviously middle school doesn't play zone, the ESD doesn't, so she didn't have the best idea what was going on all the time, and I saw girls covering outside of their areas and talking to her and helping her through and, you know, getting them to a spot on an out-of-bounds play they don't know where they can point and say, run over here, and just taking care of them every which way that they can.
I'll wrap it up with this now, and that's the way I always wrap it up now. Five seniors graduate, a lot of minutes graduate off this team. There's minutes to be had next year. What do you want to see this group work on?
Yeah, there are, and these girls played a lot of quarters this year. There was most of these girls played seven quarters. I always tell my kids, if there's one thing to work on, you can never have enough ball handlers on the floor. And I think that's the thing you notice with each level you go up, is how much tougher it is to handle the ball, how much tighter the pressure gets, things like that. Second thing we can always work on is having enough kids who can shoot the ball on the court. So those are things that just come by putting time in the summer, being around the game, and working hard in the time that you are in the gym.
Jeremy Noyes, head coach here on Tiger Girls Basketball C team. They had a record of 8-5 this past season. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking Huron Tiger JV basketball with girls basketball with head coach Skylar Holtrop. They came out with a record of 7-12 on the season. Skylar, first off, before you talk about the team, talk about yourself. You came from the boys program. I think you were middle school boys as well. So was this the first time you really had coached girls?
Actually, my first year here, I coached 8th grade girls basketball with Angie Thomas. That would have been the year of Braylee Thomas. And so I had just that 1 year of girls, and I've coached my younger sister and, you know, when she was younger in school and things like that. But as far as varsity level girls, this was the first time.
You know, because some adjustments there, I suppose?
Absolutely. A lot different. You know, boys, they watch the game of basketball a lot, and so they kind of have a little understanding of basketball. So with girls, you really got to draw it out. And, you get, you know, exactly where you're going to be and things like that, and you got to kind of double-check with them. But they responded really well. And then, like I said, it was a learning adjustment for me as well. But overall, I think it went really well. So.
Well, go down the roster here, as I said, 7-12, and you had a mix. I think you had freshmen, you had sophomores, you had juniors, you had all three classes at one point or another.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had Allie Davis, a freshman. She was one of our scorers as well. She did a lot of things for us offensively and defensively, and she was kind of our go-to. Also, when we needed a free throw, we needed a bucket. She worked hard as well. Really a good athlete. Allison James, we lost her after the Sioux Falls Jefferson game, and she was our motor. She was our go-getter, our ball handler, and when we lost her, somebody, you know, we had to have some people step up, and when I get to those players, they did a really nice job of filling that void for us. Because that was a huge loss. She was one that was a go-getter. She would get after it, get steals, handle the basketball, not afraid to put her head down and just go. And we lost that a little bit, you know, when she went down at Sioux Falls Jefferson. So Hilton Hines, obviously she was our freshman as well, and she was our motor. She played quite a bit of varsity. She had a lot of varsity time. She wasn't afraid to just take it to the hoop. And she was our playmaker. Basically, for that JV squad, she was our playmaker. There were times when she could only play three quarters for us. There were sometimes she could only play two. And so our team fed off of her energy and her athleticism and her, you know, ability to score the basketball. And our girls fed off that. And so when she only had, like, maybe two quarters for us, we kind of struggled sometimes because we were looking to her for her to score for us, and she wasn't there for us. So we had to have somebody step up for us, and that's where sometimes in some of those close games we lost four games by less than, you know, within 5 points, less than 5 points. And so those games that really did kind of hurt us, and that just happened to be because of numbers, and we wanted to make sure that Hilton wasn't too tired for the varsity game. So, and then our 6'1" post, Lizzie Heinen, as the season progressed, she really played. She fit into the role that we wanted her to play, posting up, making a move, being quick with her moves, and making a move that was, you know, with a purpose, and making that quick move. And she has a great up and under move, and she, a lot of the second half of the season, she had 15, 17 points for us. And so she was a lot of times our leader, and she wasn't afraid to grab those rebounds, be strong with it, outlet it, and let's go. Kenzie Simmonsma, kind of like Lizzie Heinen, obviously not as tall, but she'll get any and every single board. And she's not afraid to box out and go get that board. And as a post player, that was really good to see, because a lot of times we could only play Lizzie or Kinsey, because most teams only had one big, so we were able to complement. They were able to complement one another, and so that was good. And Lizzie and Kenzie, they're both juniors for us. Tatum Peterson, she always plays with a smile. She'll get after it. She's got a little bit of a temper, and we saw that in a few of the games. Pushing some girls, and you know, she gave a Stevens girl a nice little, I don't know, if ballet dance, if that's what you want to call it. But she's a hard worker. She's a hard worker, and she doesn't always get recognized, but she'll do a lot of the dirty work. When we need somebody to take the ball, like when Allison went down and we don't have Hilton, she's not afraid to put her head down and just go. And just go and try to make something happen. Madison Juergens, she's a sophomore. Her and Allison were our two sophomores. Madison Juergens, she was our other ball handler. I always felt really bad for her because she sometimes would find herself in a tough situation, you know, having to handle the ball and things like that. And so what we need to do is we need to keep working her with her skills and things like that, because she'll be an asset next year on our varsity squad. Jaylee Noyes comes off the bench, and she'll hit 9 out of 10 shots for you. She's that spark that if you need a three-pointer, she's willing to shoot that, and more than likely that thing's going in. So that was a good addition to Huron. Obviously, with Dad being the coach with us, he's been a great mentor to myself, and I really appreciate him, and I appreciate having Jaylee on the team too. She's a junior. Haley Rogers, freshman, she's probably one of those girls that you'll see on the floor more than you'll see her not on the floor as far as on the ground. She just hustles. She gets after it. She'll jump on any loose ball. She'll get after every loose ball. Got a little bit of a temper too when girls kind of get, you know, when she's not afraid to kind of push around and let them be known that she's here to play too. So she's a pretty physical player as well. And Kyla and Libby, they're both freshmen. A little bit raw. We're still working with them, and they didn't get as much time on the JV as we had hoped. But they got to play a lot of C, and I'm excited to see what, you know, when they put in the time this summer, what they give us for next year. And then we had two girls that unfortunately weren't able to play this season due to knee injuries, and that was Chloe Carr and Jency Gergen. And those are good pieces too. Once we get those two healthy, and now Allison, obviously, we get her healthy again. There's a good solid group of freshmen, and I can't wait to see how they all mesh together, and especially with that sophomore group, and the future's looking pretty bright for the Tigers.
You know, and one thing I got to thinking about here, you know, when you compare the C team and the JV girls to varsity, most of those girls played more basketball this year than the varsity girls did. The varsity girls played their four quarters. Most of these girls were getting seven quarters in between the C team and JV.
Absolutely. You know, there's not a lot of schools where you can say that, you know, our C and JV girls are playing seven quarters a night. And that's a lot of basketball. And we knew that coming in, that was going to be a lot of basketball for them. And I'm telling you, if you love the game of basketball, what better opportunity than get to play seven quarters of basketball? You know, not a lot of people get to do that. They may play four, may play three, and that may just be at the varsity level or at one level because of so many girls. The unfortunate thing is the reason we had to do that was due to our numbers. So what we need to do is we got to make sure to get more girls out. We got to find more girls to get out and to build the program with more numbers.
And to wrap it up with this, again, talking to Skylar Holdrop. He's the JV coach for Huron Tiger Girls basketball this year. Look ahead now. There's five seniors that lead. They all played basically starters minutes. Four of them did start. So you had two girls, a lot of varsity time, one girl with a little varsity time. There's a lot of spots on that varsity team next year.
Yeah, and I told him that after our last JV game. I said, you know, here's the deal. It's a great opportunity. You know, we hate to lose, you know, you hate to lose seniors, but that's just the way it is, right? Their time is done. And so now there's roles that need to be filled, and those are with you, you know, with the girls right here. And so we need to buy in to the summer workouts, the summer programs, the camps, and even the things outside of the camps and the team stuff. What are you doing when, you know, nobody's watching it in the gym? And so we, I'm hoping, you know, when talking to those girls and they felt that they were ready for that task and they're ready to pave their way. These seniors did a great job of paving their way, but now it's these younger girls. They have their chance now to pave the way for the future of the Tigers.
Skyla Holtrop, JV coach of Huron Tiger girls basketball this past season. Tiger JV ends up at 7-12 for the season. We'll be back. Dakota Sports on KOKK. Don't Spill the Beans now has three convenient locations in Huron. In the Fair City Foods parking lot, at their downtown Center Plaza location, and the new one in Coburn's parking lot. Don't Spill the Beans offers specialty coffee and food at all locations and gifts and decor at their downtown location. Don't Spill the Beans is a proud sponsor of the Huron Tigers and the Tiger Pregame Report. Don't Spill the Beans, three locations in Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Good morning. We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. Wrap it up with South Dakota High School Activities Association. They had their regular board of directors meeting this past Wednesday. And once again, and they've had several of these, a lengthy discussion on sportsmanship and how to get things toned down in competition. As of Monday of this week, there had been a combined 87 ejections of players, coaches, and fans at sporting events so far this school year, going back to the beginning of fall activities. That compares with 30 at this time 1 year ago. Joe Auk with the Activities Association says officials have been encouraged to crack down on behavior as they see fit.
Every meeting that I went to, it was... officials, you have the power here. You know, give your bench warning, and then this is next week. Once you, what we permit, we promote. And if we're going to allow this kind of stuff, then the, you know, all of those kinds of things. So, yes, we did encourage, my rules, meetings, and things, we did encourage officials to take care of business. And I would tell you, at the state tournament, every official is going to be told the same thing. This stuff of letting kids make our officials look like fools is not acceptable in my meetings. I've given some of those scenarios. I do plan on talking to our boys and girls, all tournament teams and Spirit of Sioux, that they make that a point of consideration, that if you've got players that are doing actions that are unbecoming being a good team leader, that they shouldn't be considered for the Spirit of Sioux, nor should they be considered for the all tournament team. I don't care how good you are, if you can't be a leader, That completely goes against everything with the Spirit of Sioux and our alternatives.
Dan Swartos is head of the South Dakota High School Activities Association, and he told Nate Brown with Fox Sports Rapid City this week that Alk's points definitely hit to the point.
I think it's more a kid gets a foul and then they're throwing their hands up and they see the things in college and on the pros and they're doing the same thing. And every call is, you know, I can't believe you just called that on me. And I think it's more of that than it is really the showboating. You'll see some of the showboating, but I think that was more what she was getting at, where getting a foul called on you and throwing your hands up and standing there arguing with the official, or
maybe the term we're looking at for, they're basically showing up the official in the situation.
Right. Yep.
And the bullet point out of it is simple. The officials, they have the power, and they're being encouraged to take the situation under their own control.
Yeah, I think that's part of the increase. I think a lot, it's really situational. But I do think the officials have said, no, we're going to take a stand here, and we need to clean some of this stuff up, and they've been doing that this year, and that's led to more... the more technical fouls and more foul calls. And I think of the long term, that'll be a good thing. But it does get a little painful in the short term when it's going on.
Dr. Swartos also told Fox Sports Rapid City sportsmanship has been a topic now for a few years. And even with that, it continues to be a bit of an issue.
I think it's a big issue. And I think I think those numbers, you can look at them two ways. It's a big increase, but I think part of that is officials and administrators saying, nope, we're done putting up with this. And probably not letting as much go as they normally did. I think that's part of it, but I think the sportsmanship impacts everybody, and I think we need to focus on it. It impacts the coaches, it impacts the kids, it impacts the fellow fans that are there just trying to watch a game. So it's something that we've been hitting hard all year, and we still got a long ways to go. I know I've said today I've gotten calls at night or coming to the office the next morning a few times this year, and we've got a basketball game where there's been 4, 5, 6 technicals, or a coach made it about 90 seconds into the game before he got 2 technicals and got thrown out. So I think it's something we still need to keep focusing on and keep working on. But I think at least a part of that increase is officials saying, nope, we're setting a new standard here, and we're not gonna let some of this stuff go anymore that we probably let go for too long.
A big thank you to Matt Kearney and Nate Brown with Fox Sports Rapid City for the information and also the audio there from Dr. Swartos. As I said at the beginning, there's been a combined 87 ejections this year, including 68 players. Of the 68 players that have been ejected, well over half came in the fall season, 52, and in 2 primary sports, soccer and football. Soccer had 24 ejections last fall. Football had 25 ejections. The bottom line is officials are being encouraged to crack down and keep control of contests, be it the coach, the players, or those sitting in the stands. I remember saying it last year. I'll say it again. We can all do better, and certainly I can do better as well. That wraps up Dakota Sports Saturday. Coming up later today here on KOKK, our final local play-by-play for the school year. We wrap up our coverage later today at the Girls B Basketball Tournament at the Huron Arena. Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment is up next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the Top 5 Countdown. Here's your host, Monty James.
Snowbound Monty James, broadcasting from the plains of the Dakotas. We know a lot of our listeners nationwide are right in the thick of calving season. Takes a special breed of person to hunker in and do that for a month or two. All-nighters, pulling calves, prolapses, mean cows, and hair-tag rodeos. Nah, I miss it. We tip our hat to our great American and Canadian ranchers. Salute. Big Southern Rodeo Tour again this weekend. Rodeo Austin, Rodeo Houston, Arcadia, Florida, and of course, the American in Arlington, Texas. You know, I was headed that way, but then boom, another blizzard. We'll take a look at the top 5 in each event on the other side.
Purple Wave Auction is the trusted no reserve equipment auction that specializes in the sale of farm, construction, and transport equipment. They provide the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell used equipment and vehicles for over 2 decades. But what makes them different? Trey Sharp, Texas District Director.
What makes us different is that personal side of it. We're a big company that operates like a small company, and then the way that we give that personal touch.
Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
From the messy desk of the PRCA, hearken now as we present the top 5 at each event in the world of pro rodeo. Big D, lock it down, crank it up, and let's get it on. You betcha. Bareback riding competition. Colorado kid, 20-year-old Keaton Hayes, rockets to number 1, edging out number 2, Rockstar Steiner of Texas. Louisiana's Cade Saunier on their heels. Idaho's Jacob Lees and Nebraskan Garrett Shadbolt duke it out for 4 and 5. Come on now. Murdogan. Mississippi Hand, Will Loomis is BDOC, Jacob Talia, Louisiana Shotgun, Montana Slamma, Ty Erickson, Trey, Oregonian, Jesse Brown, 4-spot, California A's, Tucker Allen, Ski It's Fief, used to be Oklahoma, and the Dakotas owned the doggin', not no mo. Team Robin, Oki, Andy Ward up front, literally, then Nelson, Driggers, Egya, Squia, and Clay, on the heels, Buddy Hawkins of Kansas, tip top, followed by, pay attention now, Sabins, Nogueira, Lord, and Curry. Did you get that? Me neither. Saddlebrock riding, Stetson Wright at the Flying Right Brothers is the man. Zeke Thurston of Alberta, number 2, A. Montana Sage Newman ups to 3rd. Shody Garrett, the pride of Eagle Butte, South Dakota, chilling 4th. Cade Bruno of Idaho, 5 card.
Show me the money.
TDR, tight end Typer Open, Texans, Riley Webb, Weston Hughes, and Trevor Hale, uno, dos, tres. Alabama Slamma.